I just feel such a significant thing that God wants to say and what he wants to do today. Last week, I shared with you what the Lord spoke to me. I was at the house, and this was a couple weeks ago, and I felt like the Lord said to me, I was seeing so many breakthroughs, so many miracles, and the Lord said, the wind is at your back. He said, the wind is with you. And he said, you need to tell Calvary and Palatka in the name of Jesus that the wind is with you. I dare you to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, if I was you, I would praise the Lord because the wind is with us. Come on. You were here last week. Come on. If you believe that the wind is with us, the power of the Holy Spirit is with us, breakthrough is with us, healing is with us, joy is with us, revival is with us. So it was so significant last week, and I told Dawn this morning, I just can't wait to get to church because I love to preach to y'all so much. But I'm going to do part two. It was just so, it got even gooder. Come on. So how many of you want to hear the next part of the wind is with us? So here we go. The Bible said in Amos 4:13, he who forms the mountains and creates the wind and declares to a man what is his thought. He said, not only do I create the man and I create the wind, I'll use the wind to speak to the man. How many of you would love for the wind of the Spirit to blow in here and just speak to you and give you direction? It says, he who makes the morning darkness and treads on the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name. So I'm going to teach today the wind is with us. And I want to tell you, if God is for us, then who can be against us? If God is for us, the healer is for us. That means the redeemer, the provider, the ancient of days, the mighty one is with us. So if you want to get him this same oil, come on, Palatka. Come on here in Orem and all around the world. Just slip up your hands and let's invite Jesus to have his way. Lord, we believe that the wind is with us. We believe, God, that you have brought us together, brothers and sisters, because you want to do something significant. And we thank you, Lord, that we're not fighting against the wind. We're not rowing against the wind. Lord, we thank you that the wind is at our back. And Lord, we expect supernatural breakthroughs. Come on, church. Supernatural breakthroughs in families, in hospital rooms, in courtrooms, hallelujah. We expect supernatural breakthroughs on college campuses and high school campuses. We expect it even in our churches on another level because the wind is with us. If you believe that the wind is with you today, give the Lord the ovation of the morning. Will you do it? Can you put a shout on that, Calvary? Come on. Before you sit down, shake hands with a couple people and say, the wind is with you. The wind is with you. The wind is with you. I have felt that in my spirit. Even though some of us in the last season have experienced opposition, can I get a witness here? It seems like the enemy has blown against us. There are times, precious, and seasons when it seems like the wind will shift. And the Lord spoke to me, and it was so intense. I felt it deep down in my soul. And he said, Jim, the wind is at your back. It's time to move at another level. It's time to accelerate and believe. I talked to you last week about the disciples in Mark. The Lord told them to go to the other side, and they're headed to the other side, and they encountered a contrary wind. And they were rowing with all their might, but the storm and the wind was against them.
Have you ever found yourself in seasons, circumstances, and situations where you were doing your very best to do what God said? And it seemed like, in spite of the fact that you were being obedient, the wind was against you. The warfare was against you. Can I find a few legitimate, real Christians who've lived that life and that reality? The truth is that just because we're saved doesn't mean that we want to experience a storm. But I love the fact that there was a moment when Jesus came walking across the water and that storm ceased and that contrary wind left. And all of a sudden they were not rowing in their own strength. They were not rowing in their own power. And I've come to tell somebody today who feels like you've been rowing for a long time, who feels like you've had to row against the wind, this might be the moment where God is saying to you, put up your oars. You don't have to strain. You don't have to stress out. I'm sending the wind of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to push you to your purpose. Do I have anybody here that's ready for God to push you into his plan? Come on, somebody. Now, I love the text that I read. The Bible said the God who forms up the mountains is the God who creates the wind, and he doesn't stop there, precious. He uses that wind, that atmosphere, because wind is an emblem of the Holy Spirit. He'll use atmospheres where the wind is blowing, where the presence of God is, and he will tell you what's on his mind. He will give you supernatural direction. Now, last week when I taught this, I taught you the reality, and I unpacked three things that the wind does. It delivers, it dispenses, and it deploys. But now I want to ask you a question today. Not does the wind do these things. We know that the wind of the Spirit does. The question is, are you moving with the wind? See, the wind can be blowing in the church, and there'll be some people who won't experience it. It can blow in your house and you'll miss it. But I want to tell you, there's some of us who made up in our minds that if the wind of the Holy Spirit is blowing, we want to get ourselves in position to experience that wind and that power. Now, there's three things riding on the wind. I'm going to teach that today and unpack it, and I believe it's going to be significant. There's wisdom in the wind, there's warfare in the wind, and there's worship in the wind. There's wisdom in the wind, there's warfare in the wind, and there's worship in the wind. The Bible says, if I left right there, that's enough, because I think you could figure that out. The Bible said in 2 Timothy 3:16, every scripture, not just the ones you like. I heard somebody say one time, if you want to know what God's saying, go back and look at all the scriptures you didn't underline. Come on, somebody. Every scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that each person who belongs to God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. I declare that in Jesus' name, you are going to be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now watch this. Number one, there's wisdom in the wind. Let me give you the background of this text. Paul writes this from a cold Roman cell. This is his last letter that he would write. And Paul knows, I'm not coming out of this alive. Paul knew he's in Rome, and he knows that he is going to give his life for the cause of Christ. And in this moment, in 2 Timothy, he's not writing a stranger. He's writing this letter to a son named Timothy. Timothy was his son in the Lord. Timothy was young. He had a great assignment over his life. He's now the bishop of Ephesus, and he feels intimidated, and he's battling fear. And in the middle of that fear, he starts to doubt himself. And Paul says, and it's so amazing, come here, darling. How many of y'all appreciate all the people that serve? She serves so faithfully. We're back in the back, and we're praying over the service, and I'm teaching all from 2 Timothy today. And I look down, and I see her shirt. And her shirt says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but love and power and a sound mind." And Paul writes the letter to Timothy. This is 2 Timothy 1:7. And he said, "Timothy, you might feel fear now, and you might be afraid, but God hasn't given you," she's wearing a shirt, "a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind." I about did a Jericho march in the office because I need to tell somebody that if the Lord will cause a woman to put a shirt on that's trying to testify you're on the right track, I feel like maybe he's trying to tell you, don't let your circumstances intimidate you. Don't you let that doctor's report get the best of you. Don't let the behavior of your children bring you into depression. God has not given you a spirit of fear, but love and power and a sound mind. Ain't that good? Paul writes that to Timothy and said, "Timothy, I know you're intimidated. I know you feel fear, but God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but love and power and a sound mind." Now, Timothy's dad was a Greek who didn't serve the Lord, but his mother and grandmother were Eunice and Lois, and they raised him to know Jesus. Shout out to all the good women, come on, who will raise their kids to know the Lord. Now, I want you to picture this young man standing in Ephesus. I want you to see him there. Timothy is struggling because he's in one of the most immoral cities in all of the Roman Empire. It's the home of the Temple of Artemis. It's a place of sorcery and seduction and sexuality. The perversion is hard to describe. And every dollar, all the money of the city ran through the temple. And Paul's preaching threatened that money because the city was soaked in all this immorality. And when revival took hold, believers brought their occult scrolls and they brought them out in public and they began to burn things, and it was to the tune of 50,000 pieces of silver. It affected them economically, and they were so upset about it. And Timothy's in that environment where the church is now being hated. And Paul had already warned the Ephesians elders that there would come a time when people would come in among them, that men would rise up in their own ranks. And the Bible says, "Timothy, you're going to see perilous times." He said, "You'll see times when people will be lovers of themselves and lovers of money and boastful and pride and obtrusive and disobedient and ungrateful and unholy and without love and unforgiving and without self-control and brutal and haters of good and traitors and reckless and conceited and lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God." And he said, "They'll have a form of godliness, but they'll deny the power thereof." And he said, "Timothy, I'm not talking to you about what's going to happen out in the pagan world." He said, "That atmosphere is going to try to invade the church." He said, "I'm not telling you what's happening out there in the world." He said, "This deception is going to try to invade the church." He said, "It's coming to the front door and it's going to try to get in the house." And if we've ever seen that operating today, that operates right now in 2026, because the enemy is trying to infiltrate churches that have the real touch of God and they preach the real truth of the word. We are living in those days. We're living in a day where there's so much that's tried to get in the church, and that warning came with some names attached to it. There was a man named Hymenaeus and Alexander, and these guys, they had risen up and they had polluted the atmosphere of the church. In fact, Hymenaeus and his partner Philetus, they were teaching that the resurrection had already happened. They were there spreading lies, and hope was evaporating in the church. And Paul said, "You got to be careful." He said, "Because there'll come a time when people's ears will itch for something else rather than the gospel, and they'll gather themselves up teachers who will scratch their itching ears." And I don't want to stay here too long, but we got to be careful that we don't go to churches where they tell us just exactly what we want to hear. where we are never pushed or challenged. I love everybody, but it's time for the pulpits to get a backbone in America. Pastors, we've got to preach the truth of God's word. We can't be scratching people's ears. Eternity hangs in the balance. Come on, immorality is wrong. Racism is wrong. Not protecting the unborn is wrong. Redefining marriage is wrong. Lust is wrong. Listen, we've got to get some backbone back in the church. And pastors, just speak truth in love. We love everybody, but the truth is still the truth. And I'm not looking for some news channel to tell me what's wrong or right. I'm not looking for social media. I don't need a political party. Some of y'all have a king. You got the wrong king on the throne. You got a Democrat on the throne. You got a Republican on the throne. You got some social media influencer on the throne. There is one king, and his name is Jesus. And we got to get him back on the throne. And we got to preach the truth of his word. Glory be to God. I love everybody. I really do. But he said perilous times. And y'all got to know we're living in perilous times. That warning came with these people's names. And Paul said, be careful now. He said, they're going to pile themselves up, teachers. And the truth is, if you give a guy... you got some money, you'll always find a preacher that'll tell you what you want to hear. But I'm not the one. I love everybody. You can take your money and get in your car if you think your money's going to affect what we preach. This message is not for sale. I said this pulpit is not even for rent. Can I get a witness in here? Every compromise that Paul described needed an answer. Every compromise needed an answer, and it wasn't a better strategy. It wasn't just a louder voice. Every compromise that was sweeping through Ephesus and trying to get in the church could only be answered by one thing, and that was sound, can I say this word, doctrine. It was the truth of the word. And Paul said, all scripture is God-breathed. Now, somebody say God-breathed. Now, God-breathed is a Greek word. It's theopneustos. Theo, literally theos, means God. And then pneo means to breathe or to blow, to breathe out like a wind. And this word is a word that shows up nowhere else in the Bible. Paul actually joined these words, God and wind. He joined them together and coined a word that had never been used before. He didn't borrow it, he originated it. And the Bible that you read, the Bible that you have in your hands, the Bible that I preach, it's not just inspired, it's exhaled. God breathed it. Now that word pneo is the exact root word for pneuma or spirit. It's the word P-N-O-E, the exact word used for the rushing mighty wind that filled the upper room. The same wind that blew in the upper room blew in the hearts of these men who wrote your Bible. That same wind that blew the doors open in Acts chapter 2 is the wind that Paul says blew your Bible into existence. It's not two different moves of God. It's one wind doing two things. In the upper room, it filled a room, but on the page, it fills your Bible. What I'm trying to tell you is this. These winds are not in competition with each other. We have atmospheres in churches where you got the church that, well, all we want is the wind of the Spirit, and they don't have any word. And then you have people, all I want is the word, but they don't have any wind. I'm about to preach a minute. The reality is you got to have both winds blowing in your life. Because the truth is I know people, all they want is just give me the word, brother. Just preach that word to me, brother. All I want is the word. And that's beautiful to want the word. But if you don't want the worship, and you don't want the wind, you're out of balance. Because if all you got is the word and all you want is the word, you're going to turn into a Pharisee. Preach, Jim Raley. All you're going to do is sit around and judge everybody because you don't have any wind of the Holy Ghost in your life, and you're filtering everything through your intellect. When we need the power of the Holy Ghost. Then I have people who say, you know what? That's too much preaching at that church. They take too long in the message. Jim Raley preaches too long. We want more worship. We want more wind of the Holy Ghost. The problem with these people, the people that all they want is the word, they become Pharisees. And the people that all they want is the wind and the worship, they become weird. And all they want to do is fall out. Oh, I'm falling out. It was so good. We didn't get any word. But let me tell you, baby, when you get the wind of the word and the wind of the spirit and it gets present in the house, anything is possible. How many of you appreciate the worship in this place? Open up your mouth if you're thankful for the wind that blows in this house. But how many of you appreciate the word that comes forth in this house? Tell your neighbor, we need it all. We need it all. They don't compete with each other. They complement each other. So what I'm trying to tell you is this. I want to grow you up in the Lord. In Palatka, we're going to build a church where the wind blows across the word and it blows across the worship. When you fill your life with the word, you're filling your life with the wind of the Holy Spirit. So every time, you need to start walking through your house and speaking the word. Walk through your house and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Come on, tell your children, we're gonna serve the Lord. Speak the word over your children. Can I regress a minute or digress? The truth is, I'm tired of hearing parents say, you know, we want to come to church, but my child, he doesn't want to come to church. He wants to play video games, and I'm struggling. He doesn't want to get out of bed. Can I tell you something? Stop negotiating with a 9-year-old. Y'all, nobody wants to shout. I'm going to say it again. I said, stop negotiating with a 9-year-old. You don't negotiate with him about going to school. You need to say, get your blessed assurance up out of that bed, because we are going to the church, the house of God, and we are going to worship the Lord. I'm going to say too much. When my kids were growing up, they knew not to tell me I couldn't come into their room. Don't you come into my room. This is my room. I said, this is not your room. This is my spare bedroom, and I'm letting you use it till you get old enough to move out. You got to stop negotiating with children and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Fill your house with the word of God. Love the word, speak the word, but then also have atmospheres where the Spirit of the Lord can blow in your house. Walk through your house and speak the word, and when you do, the wind blows. Now, here's where it gets deep, because there's wisdom in the wind. Now, the two leaders that were coming against the church were Hymenaeus, and there was a man named Philetus. And Hymenaeus' name, his name means joined together. It literally means married. And Philetus' name means beloved. So you had joined to and you had beloved who were rising up to lead an insurrection in the church and declare that there was no resurrection. But I want to tell you, even though their names pointed to one thing, and even though they were trying to clothe themselves in wisdom, they were trying to sift that church like wheat, and there's wisdom in the wind. Paul said you got to be filled with enough word and enough spirit that you're able to recognize what the enemy is doing. And I want to tell you, that should tell you, I don't care if their name means joined to or if their name means beloved. If you are being led by the Spirit of God and you believe the word of God, you can't join to everything. I know this is a lot, but there's some conversations that you can't be a part of. There's some compromises that you can't be a part of. There's people, they are beloved to you, and you love them, and you hope they make it to heaven. But at the end of the day, you can't hang out with them 24/7 because you know that they are not your people. What are you saying? I'm saying you can't join yourself to people if they contradict the truth of God's word. Come on, somebody. There's so much propaganda trying to come into the church. We need people who are filled with the Holy Spirit. You need God-breathed wisdom. And I'm telling you what it's time for. Can I say this? I'm going to move on. But it's time for a Bible revival. I want some people who are ready for a Bible revival. Just open up your mouth and give God praise like you're ready for it. Come on. If the Bible says your sons and daughters will prophesy, if the Bible says that healing is yours, if the Bible says in the last days I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, if the Bible says no weapon formed against you shall be able to prosper, if the Bible says greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, if the Bible said, blessed is he who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that law he doth meditate both day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water, and he shall bring forth fruit in his season, and whatsoever he does, it shall prosper. Behold, I show you a great mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, for at the last trump, this corruptible must put on incorruptible, and this mortal must put on immortality. For when this corruptible has put on incorruptible, and this mortal has put on immortality, thus it shall come to pass. The saying which is written, O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Death is swallowed up in victory. The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Somebody take 30 seconds and give God a praise. God, I better be careful, but I feel a shout in this room. Did you feel that? Did you feel that freedom? Did you feel that wind? I said, did you feel that wind? Did you feel it blow over your row? We need the word, y'all. There's wisdom in the wind. There's wisdom. There's something about getting that Bible out. There's something about preachers who will preach it, teachers who will teach it, and people who will live it. They can change circumstances and situations. I'm trying to tell you today, many of you in Palatka here around the world, you need to understand and comprehend that the world doesn't have the wisdom you need. Fox doesn't. CNN doesn't. MSNBC doesn't. But there is a King. Come on, there's a Holy Ghost who breathed the word. I want all the people that want a Bible revival, give the Lord praise that that's what we're going to have in the last days. Tell somebody there's wisdom in the wind. Yes, there's wisdom in the wind. But look at 2 Samuel 5:24. It shall be when you hear the sound of a marching. One translation said a going. Another translation said a wind in the tops of the mulberry trees. Then you shall bestir yourself. For then the Lord has gone out before you to strike the army of the Philistines. Second thing I want you to know, precious, is this. There's warfare in the wind. I'm telling you, when you get the wind of God blowing in your life, the warfare changes. I better say that again. I said, when you get the wind blowing in your life, the warfare changes. David is standing in front of his arch enemies, the Philistines, and they're after him again. And God didn't just hand him a strategy. God sends him a sound, and God releases a wind. And he said, David, don't you move until you hear the sound of the wind rustling through the tops of the treetops. It was God saying to David, when you hear that, you'll know that I've gone out in front of you, David. Isaiah said that the nations get chased off like dust before the wind when they rise up against what God is doing. And here's the shift. David is there in that moment, and he thinks he's going to have to fight this battle on his own. But all of a sudden, things changed, because warfare doesn't stop when the wind comes. It changes hands. Oh, God. Before the wind, you're the one doing the fighting. Before the wind, you're doing the warfare. Before the wind, you're trying to make it happen. Before the wind, you're trying to win it. But after the wind of God blows, honey, after it blows, you realize I'm not fighting this by myself. The wind is with me. I need to tell somebody here today who's been in a battle, and it's been a long battle, and the enemy's trying to get you to quit and give up and surrender and wave the white flag. In Jesus' name, it is time, precious, for the wind to blow at your back, and you realize that this is not my battle. The battle is the Lord's. How many of you are battling, are fighting some fights that you can't win, but you believe if the wind blew in your life, it would take care of everything? Come on, let the wind blow in the courtroom. Let the wind blow in the counselor's office. Let the wind blow in the doctor's office. Let the wind blow in the hospital room. Let the wind blow on college campuses. Let the wind blow in our marriages. Let the wind blow in the car. Let the wind blow in every hard situation. Is there somebody here ready for the wind to blow? Is there a battle that you've been fighting? Come on, real people. Is there something that you've been dealing with? See, I love this part. Because the wind started to blow, and they said, wait a minute, I'm not doing this. I'm not chasing these Philistines away. I'm not defeating this enemy. God's involved in this. God must be doing this. The wind took the battle over, and they became spectators in their own deliverance. And they watched the Lord move. I do not know who I am talking to today, but there are some of you that you have factored in. You have tried to reason it out. You have tried to figure it out. You have warred for it. You have fought for it. And still you are finding yourself in warfare. You are finding yourself. You're wrestling with a doctor's report, a child that won't give their lives to Jesus. You're wrestling with a hard marriage, and the enemy has told you that it's not going to come to pass. But I feel like I need to stand and testify and tell you that I've been in situations in my life where it looked like there was no hope, and I was warring with everything I had, and then all of a sudden it's like the Lord moves me out of the way, and I feel a rustling in the mulberry tree. Come on, I feel a wind blowing, and I step back and I say, man, I'm not doing this. This has to be God. I prophesy in the name of Jesus. I feel a fire in me right now that there are some people who are about to step into a moment where you have been warring with all your might, but you're going to step back and you will stand still and see the glory of the Lord. I dare somebody right now who's ready for a move of God that you see it. God will move at times in that way. And he does it intentionally. Because if we win in our own strength, we'll walk around, act like we were all that and a bag of chips. But when God does it, when God sends his wind, when God gives you the house, when God opens the door, when God saves the children, I wish I could find 500 people, not everybody, that's ready for something to happen in your life. I want somebody right now who's ready for the wind to blow in the most difficult situations in your life. If your praise was an activator, I want you to open your mouth and give God praise like you are ready for the wind. Come on, blow, mighty wind of God. Some of you have been trying to win the fight that's not been assigned to your hands. You keep swinging at the marriage, swinging at the diagnosis, swinging at the problems, and you're exhausted. But I'm going to tell you that I'm not swinging this season. I'm going to believe in the sword, which is the word of the Spirit, and I'm going to believe in the wind, and I'm going to see that addiction break in Jesus' name if you're dealing with it, that stronghold break, that generational curse break in the name of Jesus. There's warfare in the wind. The enemy knows if the wind of God blows in your struggle, he is finished. What's against your house, your purpose, your breakthrough, and your destiny is not stronger than what's for it. The wind always wins. We must not have made it a slide, so I'm going to have you repeat it after me. Oh, you ready? Raise up your hands. Get radical. Okay. Say, devil. I mean, say it like you got authority over him. Say, devil, the wind of God is blowing in my struggle, and you are finished. What is for my house, my purpose, and my breakthrough, and my destiny is stronger than anything you can bring against it. The wind of God will always win in my life. Now give God a shout like you believe it. Come on, I feel something. Palatka, give God a shout. Ormond, give God a shout. Now, there's wisdom in the wind. There's warfare in the wind. But how do you attract the power and presence of God? It brings us to number three. There's worship in the wind. David said, bless the Lord, O my soul. My God, you are very great. You are clothed with honor and majesty, who makes the clouds his chariot, who walks on the wings of the wind. If the wind is blowing in somebody's life, you can bank on the fact that somewhere there's a worshiper. Are there any worshipers in the room? Now this is just not a scripture and a chapter and a verse. This is a song. And David don't wait or doesn't wait for a feeling before he worships the Lord. He tells himself, bless the Lord. He said, self, you're going to bless the Lord. You're not going to let your circumstances dictate whether or not you bless the Lord. He said, you are going to bless the Lord. And sometimes you got to command yourself. to give God glory. David is not describing worship here that's necessarily easy. He's ordering himself. He said, Lord, you're very great, and I'm going to worship you. You're clothed with honor. You're clothed with majesty. I'm going to worship you, and I'm going to tell you this. There are times when you've got to say, I'm not going to let that thing that the enemy is bringing against me have control or dominance in my life. I will bless the Lord. I will worship the Lord, for he is clothed with honor and majesty, and he is great. Two verses later, David said that the same God that commanded him to bless the Lord said that in the clouds, his chariot walks on the wings of the wind. In other words, when you begin to worship the Lord, you create an atmosphere for him to show up in. When you begin to bless his name, when you begin to give him glory. And the psalmist didn't wait for things to change before he worshiped the Lord. Do you know what frustrates the enemy? Is when you praise and worship God before you see the answer secured. You know what confuses the devil? Is when all hell is breaking loose, but you're still dancing in church. Some of y'all are thinking, that sister must really be in victory. She must have seen God move for her children, her grandchildren, her family. And you don't know that that woman is hanging on to heaven with hell on her back. And she's fighting, but she has made up in her mind, I'm not going to let my circumstances tell me whether or not I'm going to praise God. I'm going to praise God. And then I'm going to see God move because I'm going to attract him with my praise. The reality is sometimes you have to praise the Lord before you see it. Sometimes you have to worship the Lord in the storm. Sometimes you got to sit in a prison cell like Paul and Silas and give God glory when you ain't seeing one thing move, when everything against you says, I'm going to win this thing, but something inside of you says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to bless the Lord. If you study about Judah in the Bible, Judah was out front. When the children of Israel were walking through the desert, it was always Judah that was out front in the desert days. When they were journeying to the promised land and it was dry and hot and tired, it was Judah in the hot times, the tired times, and the lean times that got them through the desert. You can sit out there today and act like you made it on your own, but there's some of you who've been through some desert days in your life, and the only reason you made it is because you knew how to bless the Lord right in the middle of the dry season. I dare somebody right now, your finances might be dry, it might be tough in a time in your life, but there's something in you that says, I'm going to praise my way through this. Everybody can't receive this, but tell your neighbor, I'm going to praise my way through this. I'm going to praise my way till my son repents. I'm going to praise my way until my children are right. I'm going to praise my way through the desert. Some of us know that we're only here today because we might have lost some stuff. We might have lost some opportunities. We might have lost some friends. We might have lost some jobs. But testify to 10 people around you and holler at them and say, I never lost my praise. Yeah, I still knew how to magnify the mighty one of Israel. And he showed up in my circle. Sometimes you gotta command your soul to bless the Lord. I want somebody right now to command your soul to bless the Lord. Come on. Don't you give that person or that issue power over your life. Open up your mouth and command your soul to bless the Lord. I'm gonna go a little further, but Pastor Jackie, I feel like preaching. I've been trying to teach, but I feel the Holy Ghost in here. I feel that head rocking, cancer rebuking, child saving, real deal wind wanting to blow. Somebody who's ready for it to blow, open up your mouth and give God a praise.
It was always Judah in the desert, but it was always Judah on the battlefield too. Before the war ever started, Judah would get there early with their drums and their tambourines, and they would dance all over the battlefield. Before they ever threw an arrow or shot an arrow or threw a spear, they were dancing in front of the Hivites, the Hittites, the Amalekites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites, and they were giving God praise like the battle was already over. If you want to insult the enemy, command your soul right now to praise God even before you see the battle won. Somebody jump on your feet right now and get your neighbor by the hand and say, neighbor, I need a minute to give God praise because I'm about to praise him before the battle's over. Somebody praise him before you get the prize. Somebody praise him before. Come on, there's worship in the wind. There's victory in the wind. Y'all heard me talk about this before, but in the Bible there are seven steps of praise, and one of the steps is todah. Todah means to praise God on credit. It means to praise God like you got it even before you get it. I need to tell you that you need to go to your battlefield and insult every demon and every devil and every agenda of hell. And however you gonna praise when your children get saved, somebody run with that lady. Praise him like that now. However you gonna shout when the money comes, shout that way now. However you gonna dance, dance that way now. Come here, Courtney. Your mama's foot's broke, so it's getting better. So I got to use you. Move, come on, baby. How many of y'all love Courtney? How you gonna act? You gotta command your soul to worship and bless the Lord. You gotta do it sometimes when all hell is breaking loose. You gotta do it when you ain't got the money. You gotta do it when the doctor's report ain't what you want. You gotta do it, you gotta command your soul. How you gonna act? If you've been needing a financial breakthrough, and all of a sudden God provides all your needs and he gives you abundance, you're gonna say, well, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Is that how you're gonna act? Well, bless the Lord. Thank you, Lord. How you gonna act if you've been needing transportation and your car has broke down and you came in here on three wheels and a donut? Come on, somebody. And you broke as a convict, but God puts you in a position and gives you reliable transportation to be able to do what he's called you to do. How you gonna act if there was a truck out there when you got out of the building with a bow on it? And what you say, well, praise the Lord, look what God did. No, how you gonna act if you start to walk out of this building and your phone starts vibrating and you look down and every one of your lost family members had got saved and sanctified and baptized? Let me tell you what you're going to do. You're going to look. You're going to pick your children up. You're going to pick your wife up. You're going to shout unto God, I need somebody. You want the wind to blow, but you ain't got a drop of worship. You want the wind to blow, but you ain't got no praise. You need to open your mouth right now and attract the wind of God. My God, I feel a breaking in this room. You need to open your mouth and attract the wind of God. Tell 20 people around you, just holler at them and say, command your soul. Command your soul. 1, 2, 3, give God the praise in here.
I feel this. The Lord said that this is shaking plans of the enemy, that this is shaking agendas of the enemy, because he knows that your worship is attracting your breakthrough. Come on, y'all want to go to church? Does somebody just want to? We are in a Pentecostal, fire baptized, Holy Ghost filled. I'm not ashamed, church. If you want to rejoice in the Lord, let's do it right now. Come on, let's go to church.
This. Tell everybody in your neighborhood my shout makes me dangerous. Yeah, I'm not shouting just to get on your nerves. In the Bible, when the people of God shouted, it brought confusion into the plan of the enemy. And watch this. The devil is the prince of the power of the air. He exists in the air in the firmament. That's where spiritual warfare takes place. If you don't believe that, then you need to read the book of Daniel, because the prince of Persia held up the answer for Daniel for 21 days. So there's a lot of spiritual warfare that happens. We want the devil to go back to hell, but he's not in hell right now. He's creating warfare in the firmament. The firmament is the sky. The sky is the air. He's the prince of the power of the air. But the last time I read, a king outranks a prince. Come on, somebody. But I heard somebody say something years ago, and he's a guy who had studied, and there was a man who his doctorate was in sound, and he made the statement. He said, there's something about the sound of a human shout that shreds the air. And when he said that, I about knocked stuff over in my office, Because the Lord said to me, every time my people shout, because the devil's the prince of the power of the air, they shred the devil's kingdom.
Come on, shred the enemy, shred his agendas. Over your mind, over your marriage, over your children, over your family. Shout unto God.
Nobody move for a moment. I know you guys were shouting in Jesus' name in Palatka, shouting at your houses. We're going to shout one more time, because I just felt like the Lord said there was people watching at home, and they thought the shout was just for the people in the church. The Lord just told me to tell you the shout's for you too, so we're going to shout one more time with you. One, two, three, you shout at your house. Nobody move, because I want to release something in the room today. How many of y'all appreciate the word? And the worship. We got to have it all. How many of you want it all in your life? I want it all. I don't want to become a Pharisee, and I don't want to be weird, so I want to stay in balance. I need both. And it's the same thing. The wind that blew in that upper room is the wind that blew your Bible in existence. They're not in competition with each other. So there's wisdom in the wind, right? Remember that? What else is there in the wind? There's warfare in the wind. Y'all were actually listening, praise God. There's worship in the wind. But are you ready for this? There's wonder in the wind. Miracles can happen in the wind. When we worship, when we praise. What I love about Calvary is you guys do it all. Man, you'll praise and dance and shout, and then you'll just worship and weep and cry. And then when it's time to preach, you're like, man, pass the bread. Come on, I'm ready to eat. But in all this, there's wonder. How many of you got some things that you need God to take care of? How many of you need the wonder in your life again? The wonder, it literally means miracles. Raise up your hands, because I feel miracles all in this room. I speak to depression and fear. I bind it off of you. Anxiousness and anxiety leaves the room right now. Lord, you are here, and we hear the sound of a going across the trees in the spirit. Whew. Let that wind blow out that discouragement. Come on, that wind is blowing addiction out of this room right now. Ooh, come on, there's wonder in the wind. Raise up your hands. It's blowing cancer out of somebody's body in Jesus' name. Y'all, we're getting in a deep place now. Come on, it's going to blow rebellion out of somebody's family right now. Just let it blow. Whew. Come on. I believe in Jesus' name, in this very moment, it's blowing confusion. Somebody raise up your hands. It's blowing confusion off of your family, off of your children. Somebody wave right now. It's blowing the confusion out. It's blowing the worry out. I feel healing. I feel right now the wind is blowing. Blood pressure is regulating right now. Come on, God's healing people in their necks right now. Come on, somebody. There's wonder in the wind. God is moving for people who need him to move in issues outside the church. Wave your hands right now. Business issues, family issues. I see him blowing over a son right now. I see a son sitting in a truck right now. I see it in the spirit. God's going to send his spirit right to that son. He's blowing over a daughter right now. Somebody raise your hands like it might be your daughter. Over a grandchild right now. He's blowing over somebody's marriage right now. He's blowing over somebody right now with issues in vital organs, hearts, livers, kidneys, lungs. Let the wind blow, let the wind blow, let the wind blow. Can I say this? Hold up your hands. I feel this. Y'all, I feel very prophetic in this moment. The Lord says that I'm blowing a spirit of exhaustion off of people right now. You've been tired. I sense it. It's happening right over here to a lady. He's blowing that off of you right now, daughter. He's blowing an anxiousness that I feel for a dad right now who's been so anxious about your financial situation. The Lord is blowing that out right now. Because he told me to tell you at the end of the day, you're not the provider, he is. I feel like, raise up your hands. Come on, I'm pressing you hard. I know I am. But when we hold up our hands, we're just in position to receive. I feel like the Lord is blowing rebellion out of some teenagers right now who've been bent on having their way and has kept turmoil in the house. It blows out in Jesus' name. The Lord is blowing arthritis out of people's bodies right now. God, I'm going to say it. I feel this. I have to obey the Lord. The Lord said, I'm blowing a tumor out of somebody's head right now. If it's here, if it's in Palak, if it's on live stream, the Lord just said he's doing it. Somebody say, I receive it. I receive it. I receive it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Something shifting right now, something shifting right now. Some of you have had a spirit of fear. You've asked yourself, did I make the right decision? Did I do the right thing? God said, I'm blowing all that fear and all that indecision out, and I'm going to show you and prove to you that you made the right move. That I led you by the Spirit. Now somebody that receives, just slip up your hands and let's receive it. Courtney, you just worship for a moment with us.
Mighty breath of God. Move upon this place.
Received anything, just raise up your hands. Come on and confess it. I want the altar team to come forward. Man, I felt the Holy Spirit today. Been so strong. If you're in this room, nobody leave, because I'm going to pronounce a blessing over the whole house like I always do. If you're here and you're not where you need to be with God, with heads bowed and eyes closed, and you'd say, Jim Raley, there's things in my life that ought not be there. I've got sin in my life, and I need to get this right. I want this wind that you've been teaching and preaching about the last 2 weeks. I want it to blow in my life. But there's things in me that shouldn't be there, and I need to give it to Jesus. If you're not where you need to be with the Lord, come on, saints, let's give a moment to this moment. When I count to three, you're ready for a change. There's things that separate me from the Lord, Jim Raley, and when you pray for somebody, pray for me. I'm not trying to embarrass you, but I'm trying to get you connected to what will change you forever. If you're here and you'd say, if you're going to pray for somebody, pray for me. When I count to three, raise your hands. Are you ready? Pray for me. One, I'm not where I need to be. Two, I got to get right with God. I got to get sin out of my life. Three, slip up your hand right now. Hold it up. Hands across the room. Young people, moms and dads, hold up that hand. If you're ready to give your heart, soul, to life to Jesus today, I'm going to lend you 5 more seconds. If you need to raise your hand, raise it now. 5, 4, 3, 2. Hands are still being raised. 1, if you raised it and you really meant business, hold that hand up. Don't put it down. If somebody next to you has their hand up, they don't want to come by themselves, I want you to bring them. I want everybody who raised your hand, I want you to make a step of faith, and I'm going to pray with you. Begin to move right now. I promise you won't come by yourself. Come on and begin to move right now. Hallelujah. Here they come. Here they come. Look at Jesus. Come on, altar team. Here they come. Oh, look at the Lord. Look at the Lord. You've been trying it your way. Oh, y'all better clap, because they're going to come by the dozens maybe today. This is why we open the doors. Oh, look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Look at Jesus. Look at him, y'all. Palatka, this is what's coming. Salvation. Full altars. It's coming in Jesus' name. Look, I'm seeing young people run to the altar. I'm seeing people bring their children to the altar. All right. I'm going to do 2 things. Everybody take your hand and place it on your heart. Oh, wow, they're still coming. Y'all clap and help them press in. John and Kim, would you push them on in? And could I get some of my pastors to help me? Will you guys help me get them together here? And I want the altar team just to kind of surround them. Come on, just move around them right now. There's so many of them. What a day. Listen, I want to remind you that you can register for the Brotherhood Conference in the back just before I pray with these. And you can grab flyers to give to guys. You know, invite a bunch of guys. We want this to be powerful, and it's for you. Freedom and marriage groups start September 2nd. We don't just want to accept the Lord. We want to grow in the Lord. That's your chance. Bless your heart, honey. Hand on your heart. What's your name? Mercedes, God's moving for you and your family today. You've kind of been feeling invisible, and you had to be here today. You had to be here. It's a good thing, sir, to bring your family to church. It's the best thing for her and you. God is doing something special, Mercedes. I want to encourage you. This little girl right here, what's your name? What is it, baby? Aaliyah. How old are you? You're 20. You know what I feel? I feel like you're looking at your life and you're wondering, man, what direction am I going? Is that it? And you don't want to go to where you came from, right? So where you are now, Aaliyah, is a place of total surrender. God's got such a plan for you, honey.
can I minister a minute?
I don't want you to doubt yourself anymore. Okay? I don't want you to feel less than anymore, Aaliyah. You're beautiful. You got lots of hair. I like that hair. And it's pretty. But your life is going to be better than your hair. That's what I declare over you. And your friend right beside of you. Okay. Hand on your heart. Don't you love Jesus? The wind is with us. Somebody say it. Say, the wind is with me. Pray this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, forgive me for all my sins. Take my heart. Wash me clean. Make me new. I've been trying it all my way, but I can't do it without you. Let the wind blow. Change my life. Do it because you love me. Do it because you love me. I know you love me. And I give it all to you. Now all the altar workers, just go to them right now and pray. Everybody else, slip up your hands. This is going to be a week of breakthrough for you and me. If you believe for the wind, just raise your hands. Okay, hold up your hands. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you. And if you receive it, come on, wave your hands and say, the Lord bless, the Lord bless. The Lord bless you. You're singing it over everybody in the building. Make his face,
make his face shine upon you. Be gracious to you. Lord, turn his face toward you.
We're going to sing it one last time.
And give you peace.
You're singing it one last time. Wave your hands and receive it. Come on, it's in the room.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you.
Now I want you to greet people around you. I love you so much. I'll see you next week. I'll be in the back to greet our guests. Thank you for coming to Calvary. Thank you, Palatka. We love you all. Thank you, Lasha.